The first scripture reading this morning is from Acts 2, 1 to 12, page 1692. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judea, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" The second reading is from Acts 2, 13 to 21, page 1692 to 93. "Some, however, have made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious days of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you, Sharon. Well done. I would challenge anybody to tackle that reading that Sharon just gave us.
I just said he'd be the only one that would know.
Well, I've known the Parthians, Medes, and the Cappadocians a bit longer than some people have. So, but it was nicely done. Would you join me in prayer, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was remembering this week the time, maybe 10 or 12 years ago now, when Pentecost came a week early for me. Lorna and I were living at the time on a small homestead we'd built down near Blanchardville. On the Sunday afternoon before Pentecost, I was out in my garden. I don't know what I was doing, but I was out there, and I could hear thunder rolling in from the south. Quite a way south, it seemed to me at the moment. And I saw an occasional bolt of lightning way down to the south near Monroe. I didn't pay too much attention, to be honest. Rain had been forecast for the afternoon, and I figured it would get here when it got here, and so it did. Soon I felt a few sprinkles and noticed the sky was growing very dark overhead. So I put away my tools and went inside. And as soon as I sat down, the heavens opened and water just poured down, hard and fast. Then the wind hit out of nowhere, like a Mack truck slamming into the side of the house. In an instant, the rain that had been falling down was turning horizontal, not even touching the ground as it careened toward the north, it seemed. And that's when I remembered that I had left the rain flap on one of my chicken coops open. And I realized those needles of rain shooting into the coop, drenching my birds, would make them very unhappy and probably very unhealthy too. So, being the well-meaning, if not very bright, farmer that I was, I grabbed my boots, threw on a raincoat, and ran into the torrent. The birds I was concerned about were even wetter than I had feared. 49 8-week-old broilers had been flung all over the pasture. I found them here and there, hunkered down in the grass, looking like they were in shock. But that wasn't the worst of it. That was the worst of it. This was my second coop, the coop that had been home to 33 laying hens and 2 roosters. The wind that shook the house and drove me out into the storm on a rescue mission had lifted this coop off the ground, turned it over, slammed it down on the fence and on several chickens. Sometime after the trauma had passed, I realized that life on the farm had once again provided me a metaphor, a very useful metaphor. And by the next Sunday, which was Pentecost that year, I think I had a little better sense of what the Pentecost story. The wind that blew into that house in Jerusalem where the disciples were waiting was no gentle summer breeze, one of those, you know, light puffs of air that tickle your ears and set the cottonwoods shivering. Stay in Jerusalem, Jesus had told them, and wait there for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so they waited, more or less patiently, until 9 a.m. on Pentecost morning, 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover, and 50 days after Easter, when quite suddenly there was that sound, like a roar, no doubt, the rush of a violent wind. The whole house shook, and there was fire overhead. A convincing metaphor, it seems to me, to persuade the disciples that their world, like my chicken coop, was being turned upside down. In that rushing, convulsing, spirit-filled wind, they felt the birth pangs of the church. The world was changing. They were changing. Nothing would be the same again. All 4 of our Gospels show Jesus coming onto the public scene and almost immediately preaching about the kingdom of God, or what he sometimes called the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' preaching, the kingdom of heaven was not the place we go to when we die. It was not. Rather, for Jesus, the kingdom of heaven was all about what God was doing, is doing, in the world today. It was about how we are called to live today, whatever today we find ourselves in. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near, Jesus said. Repent and believe the gospel, believe the good news. In the Gospel of Mark, those were his very first words. The time is now, the kingdom is here, this is the good news. And after that, after he said that, he went all around Palestine showing people what his kingdom looked like. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' first sermon began with a quote from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim his release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The kingdom is now, Jesus said. Now is the time to heal the sick, to work for justice on behalf of the poor, to bring the strangers into your home, to bring even the enemy into your home. In other words, Jesus was saying, now is the time to turn from greed, to quit the lust for power, to turn away from violence, to open yourself to the Spirit of peace, who is the Spirit of God. The authorities, the civil and the religious authorities, disagreed with Jesus, and to prove him wrong, to keep their world right side up, they killed him. But God, who always gets the last word in this story, said that Jesus was right on. And to prove him right, God raised him from the dead. That's the point of Easter, you see. Easter is God saying yes to everything Jesus lived and died for. Jesus turned the world on its head, and God said, yes, that's what I want. And that, my friends, is the whole gospel story. And that's the story that we pick up today on this Pentecost Sunday, on the birthday of the church. Today, and on every Pentecost Sunday, Jesus calls us, the church, back to the work of building up the kingdom of God. We have received the gift of the Spirit, and now it is up to us to give the gift away. Now is the time for us, empowered by the Spirit, to do what Jesus did. You will be my witnesses, he said to his followers. Now is the time for us to heal the sick, to provide justice for the poor, to bring the stranger and the enemy into this house, just like Jesus did. This is why we open our doors to any who will come, why we open the table to any who are hungry, just like Jesus did. Because the Spirit of God is here and now, and the kingdom of God is here and now. This was the time for the first Christians to give up greed, to quit their lust for power and security, to forsake their allegiance to the Roman Empire, and give their allegiance fully to Jesus. And now, on this Pentecost, we are called to do the same, to open ourselves to the Spirit of peace, who is the Spirit of God, to forsake our allegiance to our government or our country, to transfer that allegiance to Jesus himself, to reassure those first followers of Jesus that this is what God wanted, to convince them that what looks like an upside-down world is actually quite right side up. God sent the Spirit on that Pentecost morning at 9 a.m., just about church time, don't you see? Pentecost morning today reassures us that God is still sending the Spirit to rattle the whole house, to shake us out of our complacency, to turn the world, or at least to turn us, upside down, to change our perspective, to help us see what we couldn't see before. The kingdom of God has come near, Jesus said. Repent and believe the good news. Or to rephrase that, the kingdom of God is here. Turn around. That's what repent means, you know. Turn around and look at what God is doing. When my our first daughter was born, the doctor held her up in kind of a sitting position, and she didn't make a sound. She just sat in his arms, looking around the room, her eyes like saucers, taking it all in, quietly. And I thought, how different things must look to her now that she is outside. Suddenly the lights are on. The air was moving. She was breathing. The world was all new. Being born does that to you. Being born again does that to you too. And here on this Pentecost morning, when the whole church celebrates its birthday, it happens once again. The Spirit breathes her raucous, rushing life into the confused, surprised followers of Jesus and sends them on their way. And this morning sends us on our way, on the way of Jesus, to be the kingdom of God, to be what St. Paul called the body of Christ, the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in the world. Now is the time for us to be the people God created us to be, the people Jesus redeemed us to be, the people the Spirit empowers us to be. That is what Pentecost is for. Happy birthday, everybody. Amen.